Hello. I'm Tom Baker, and you are listening to my favorite internet radio show, Hacker Voice Radio. It's even more yummy than ice cream.
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. You're joining us on the 20th of February 2006. Lee said 5. Hello, Planet Blue.
Hello.
Now, there's a little secret thingy in this episode, if you've already guessed it, hopefully. There's something hidden in this episode. Somewhere. I don't know where. But if you reverse it, it will reveal a secret phrase. If you then unbreak the code and reveal the secret phrase, and you post that secret phrase in the forums, you will then earn yourself the right to one free t-shirt with free shipping. So listen up. You might have already missed it. You might still hear it. We don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? However, I'm sure people will be able to figure out whereabouts it is and what it is, or if you do, go ahead and post that in the forums. You might have to re-download the episode again, you know, slice it up, reverse it, triangulate it, put it through a few algorithms, give it to your dog for a while, I don't know, do what you need to be done. Yeah. Oh dear. I've had a really shit health day.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
I've just not been feeling too well. I think it's the onset of a cold.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that weird sound in the background was your guts for a bit.
No.
Started going... You don't sound too well.
Yes, my guts sound like a violin put through...
You've got violin guttitis. It's fatal.
You have stupiditis.
There's no known cure.
No. I see LucasAid's been busy in the news front today.
He's been hell busy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff there.
Yeah, I think one of the little things that he had there really caught my attention. Now, as we all know, many different species have different sexual orientation. One of these is horses. Apparently, a student who called a mountain policeman's horse gay will not be prosecuted, as has been revealed. But police have stood by their decision to take Sam Brown to court for making a homophobic comment to a horse. Mr. Brown, 21, a student at Oxford University, has said to an officer, "Excuse me, do you realize your horse is gay?" Police took the case to court after Mr. Brown refused to pay a £80 fine. Mr. Brown, who made the comment during a night out with friends in Oxford after his final exams, was arrested under the Section 5 of Police Order Act for making homophobic remarks. Now, I didn't know this applied to non-human species. Maybe the horse liked a bit of, you know, stallion dick. Who knows? His remark were deemed likely to cause harassment, alarm, or distress. I didn't know horses spoke English. The English literature graduate from Belfast spent the night of 30th May last year in a police cell. it emerged that Oxford's magistrates court on Thursday that the Crown Prosecution Service has chosen to discontinue the case. Prosecutor Carid Evanson-Webb said that was not enough evidence to prove Mr. Brown had been disorderly. Thames Valley Police defended their decision to take this case to court. A spokesman said, we presented the case to the CPS and that the CPS make the decision to proceed or not. He made a homophobic comment that we deemed offensive to people passing by. So not necessarily to the horse, but to people passing by.
Oh, the horse was fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, he gets that all the time in the stables.
I actually remember reading a bit about this story a while ago when it first broke. What it doesn't say in this story is that this guy was just being a mouthy student.
Yeah.
Basically, he's just come out of the pub. He's finished all his finals. He's pissed out of his head, and he goes up to a policeman and goes, "Hey, you know your horse is gay," and the coppers pull him in for it. Fair enough. He's being a bit of a prick to the coppers. What do you think's going to happen? At best, they'll say, "Go on home now."
Yeah.
At worst,
you're being a twat. Go away.
Yeah. At worst, you get what he got. You got a night in the cells to sober up.
Yeah.
And probably a court case. I'm glad they did throw it out of court.
It's a bit fucking stupid, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Because surely they've got better things to do than start a court case about what one bloke said when he was pissed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he deserved a slap on the wrist and a bit of a scare, but I'm glad they didn't take it any further.
It's slightly going over the top there, mate, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean, calling a horse how can you tell?
Well, was he couldn't. He was just pissed.
Did he have, pink hooves? Or was his ponytail nicely plaited and... He was very well dressed, and
he had a limp hoof.
Yeah, he'd go. <"Mmm."> I don't know. How do you make a
very camp nay?
Yeah, nay, darling. Oh man, how do you make an impression of a gay horse? I don't know.
Who knows? That's the thing, though. It's just some guy taking a piss. And
yeah.
Yeah, there's some big thing, I think, on their, the university that he went to, their website.
Right.
Saying, local student defends his right to call horses gay. Weird like that. It was quite a while ago now. But he was acting like the big man on the university website, saying, "Oh, I think it's an invasion of privacy, it's an invasion of my rights." And
well, it's not really an invasion of privacy, I mean, you've been a twat. The least you deserve is a fine, you know.
Yeah. That was it. He was drunk. Avoid the coppers when you're drunk. Just go home. They don't really take it with good humour.
They don't really need it at the end of the day, you know.
No. They're out there doing a job, looking at everyone else, having fun. Going, "Christ, this is fun, isn't it?"
Mm.
You know, waiting for something to kick off. They've got... Got to have the eye on the ball.
Yeah.
And some guy comes up to him and goes, "Yeah, your horse is gay." So, but.
Noob.
I think it all worked out for the best.
Yeah. Oh, man. Something that's going to, that affects smokers around the world. New story. I don't know if you've seen this one. Smokeless tobacco test on the way. With the smoking ban now passed, cigarette firms plough cash into alternative nicotine hits. The tobacco industry has seen the future, and it's smokeless. As countries including England outlawed lighting up in enclosed public spaces, big cigarette firms are pouring millions of pounds and research hours into developing and promoting a product that delivers the addictive hit of nicotine without the harm to your health caused by cigarette smoke. They know that days of cigarettes are numbered, and it's a long way off, but circumstances have changed. Cigarettes firms believe that people will still want the nicotine, but they say smokeless alternatives has found a way forward. Apparently, it's pronounced snus. The product is a sweet size pouch like a tea bag that a user places under their lip, and it delivers a nicotine hit roughly in a minute, around 9 times slower than a cigarette, but much faster than nicotine patches used in giving up smoking. In Sweden, snus outsells cigarettes and is credited with helping to reduce lung cancer to the lowest rate in the world. Around 16% of men use snus, compared with 14% who can smoke. BAT, which is the British and American tobacco industry, is trialing snus in South Africa under the Lucky Strike brand, where rival Galha has an interest in Scandinavian company that produces the similar product. Interesting.
Have you ever tried this snus stuff?
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
No.
I hadn't until I went travelling a bit, and I actually met a Swedish guy.
Yeah.
And he had this tin, little round tin.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the bar, drinking, smoking and talking. So there, do you want a cigarette, mate? He goes, no, it's all right, I've got this.
Right.
Pulls out this tin that looks like a tin of boot polish.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that's weird. And it's exactly as it's described here, so it must be the same stuff. Pulls out a little sweet-sized tea bag thing and sticks it under his front lip. And I'm sitting there going, what the hell are you doing? What is that, a cup of tea? He goes, oh, no, do you want one?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's broken English, and I'm just going, what?
Yeah.
That was my end of the conversation. He goes, oh, it's tobacco. It's like a tobacco pouch. And I had a go with one.
Yeah, what was it like, mate?
It just tasted of tobacco.
It was a bit of shit.
Yeah. Well, he was saying, oh, these are better than cigarettes. You don't have to inhale the smoke, but you still get the nicotine. It's better for you and all this. And I had a go with one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the smokes, to be honest.
Well,
part of the thing of being addicted to smoking, it is...
is the smoking of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just the nicotine hit, it is the habit of actually smoking a cigarette physically with your hands.
Mm.
That's why so many people, when they give up, their hands are all over the place and they keep biting sorts of things like that. So, I don't know, I don't think it will take off in a massive way as a replacement. I still think people will just give up once all these laws come in. They'll just say bollocks to it. If I can't have a fag down the pub, what's the point?
Yeah. And apparently, in Sky News is reporting that reported being killed. At least 9 people were reported to be killed during the violent protests in Libya over the Prophet Muhammad cartoons. Armed police clashed with more than 1,000 demonstrators, some of which set fire to Italian consulate in Bengshai. Italian officials Antonio Simons Consiavoli said 9 protesters had been killed, several more wounded. This is weird because the story is talking about something else. Apparently, Manula Yusuf Qureshi, speaking from Pensua, said he had personally offered to pay a bounty of 500,000 rupees, that's about $8,000, to 2 of his people to... and also add rewards up to $1 million in rupees plus a car to kill the person who drew those cartoons, a Danish newspaper cartoonist. And apparently he's got quite a bit of sum of money on his head. Apparently, Lucas Aid has said... if you pretend to be the Danish cartoonist, he'll spit the reward with you. I guess how that, I don't know how that will work out.
I think one of you ends up dead and the other one collects the money.
Yeah. That doesn't sound too fair.
Mm. It's a swizz, I tell ya.
Yeah.
How much was that, the rupees? It started to break up at my end.
It's about £1 million.
What? Ooh.
That's the lump sum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God. Absolutely. Mad.
Any news from you?
There's a couple of LucasAid stories mm-hmm. that have caught my eye. Obviously, update on the Google thing going on with the US Department of Justice. This courtesy of BBC News. Google has formally rejected a demand from the US government to hand over a week's worth of search records. We already know. The rejection was made in court. I read that entirely wrong. Put a comma in where there isn't one. The rejection was made in court documents Google filed in response to official demands for search data. In the strongly worded papers, Google said the request would violate the privacy of its users and reveal trade secrets to its rivals. It also added that handing over the data was impractical and would not accomplish what the government wanted. I'm getting a bit of echo from myself there. But what I do love about this look story is that Google filed strongly worded papers to say that they wouldn't hand over the data. I'm wondering just how strongly worded they were. If it's all full of swear words and stuff like that. If you want our users' data, you can bollock off and jam it up your bum and things like that. I doubt it, but in my little fancy world, I'd like to believe that.
Sure.
So so there, that's still going on, but it looks like for now Google are sticking to the guns. And 13th of March is when the court hearing is set to decide what's going on.
Excellent.
There we go.
And I was thinking about talking about some food hacking. It's not really hacking, but it's just some experiences with making food taste good.
Sounds interesting. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, basically, when you're feeling pretty rough, as I am now, with an onset of a headache and pretty fluey, kind of coldy, kind of shitty feeling, the best thing to do would be to get a pink grapefruit. Two would do it. Cut them in half. Like a ninja, and then squeeze all the juice out. Place the juice kind of pip free in a mug. Then put in some brown sugar. Don't use white sugar, brown sugar. Mix it all in. Pour maybe half a cup full of water in there. Mix it over again. And then drink it straight. The juice is full of good stuff, it's full of little bits and bobs and shit and that. You know, you squeezed out from the grapefruit. It's full of vitamin C and a bit of fiber, I guess. Does wonders for your gut lining. Which is probably one of the most important things health-wise, is your gut lining. Many people don't know this, but your body's full of thousands and billions upon billions of bacteria that are mainly lining your gut. Now, these bacteria actually do a lot of good for you. It's important to keep your gut lining very healthy. One of the ways of actually stabilizing that after a whole night of drinking, kebabbing, and tequilaing is to get yourself some live yogurt, get yourself a cucumber, and basically chop up the cucumber into little tiny chunks, and then mix it in with some live yogurt. And then go ahead and basically consume that. And that does wonders for the lining and for your digestion system. Another quick hack is summer is approaching, even though it seems to be so far away right now in London. But many people get very, very hot in the summer. The worst thing you could ever do is drink Coca-Cola, because that does fuck all to help your body and keep you nice and cool. The best thing to do would be to carry a small thermos flask of warm tea. Herbal tea would do it, not tea with milk, just herbal tea, kind of straight raw tea. It's always good to drink hot stuff when you're hot, instead of cold stuff like cold ice Coke. It just makes you want to drink more and it damages your body. Also, another fantastic thing after a whole day of exercise during a hot day is get yourself again some live yogurt and mix it down with water and milk. Now, make sure you mix it properly so that so that it's gone all milky. It's no longer thick. Mix it around with a spoon a lot, or a mixer, whatever you like to use. And drop in half a tablespoon or to taste of salt inside there. Mix it all up again and then consume. It does wonders for rehydration. It pumps back all the salt that's lost from your body. And also it contains a hell of a lot of protein and milky protein and stuff, which rebuilds your body and does a lot to do with toning of muscles and stuff, exactly what the body needs after a whole day of hot running and whatever you're doing during the summer. And I guess that's it from my little hacking food section.
It's just like Gordon Ramsay but with less swear words.
I think I put
throw a couple in for good measure.
I think I put in one swear word. Yeah.
One's not enough. Poo.
Yeah.
Winky. Etc.
Meat curtains.
Ooh.
Oh, I hope people enjoy that. If they have any kind of recipes they'd like to be read out, just send me an email. What?
It's turning into fucking Delia Smith Radio, this.
Well, I mean, food is a very important part of life, If you eat the wrong kind of food, then you can't function properly as a hacker.
It's right.
Yeah. I know you're just taking a piss, but...
No, I actually do think it's right. It is right.
Yeah.
I mean, basic common sense, yeah. Really.
I mean, the reason I think about it is that people... they spend a lot of money on food, but it's actually very simple to create yourself a very healthy energy drink just from the stuff that you have in the fridge. It's just a bit of common sense and trial and error, I guess.
Yeah, a bit of balance as well.
Yeah.
Make sure you're getting all the stuff you need. And not just living off cornflakes as I do. I'm worried about my riboflavin intake. I've got to have cornflakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's another interesting story here which relates to one we did a while ago about OS X viruses and how they're becoming more and more prevalent there. So that's it. A second piece of Mac OS X malware has emerged within a week, albeit a worm that poses very limited threat. Mm-hmm. Security software maker F-Secure, who do a very cool free antivirus product, by the way, describe... how do you say this? Inktana A?
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, I struggled on that before.
Yeah, that's not a word. It's a Java-based proof of concept, so it's nothing to really worry about. It's a worm that exploits a vulnerability in Bluetooth on some Macs that haven't yet been updated with Panther and Tiger security patches. So, it's not much of a news story, but it is interesting that OS X vulnerabilities are becoming more and more prevalent, even in the proof of concept kind of stages. So I think I've said it all along, the more people who subscribe to a certain operating system, the more and more you will see vulnerabilities, viruses and shite come out for that operating system. And it's happening with OS X. So if you're running it, you know, go through the standard things you should be doing, keep your virus protection up to date and keep your patches on, so on and so forth. Don't just assume because you're a Mac user you're magically invulnerable to exploits, viruses and all that horrible stuff.
Yeah. You gotta keep your shit locked down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're running.
Yeah.
You just can't afford to be lazy in this day and age. Because I still reckon a few years from now, some clever bastard will come up with a major Linux exploiting thing, and everyone will be going, oh, I run Linux, I'm safe, I'm fine. And then, boom, straight up the ass when you weren't looking. That's what happens if you don't patch your shit, no matter what you're running.
Indeed.
What do you reckon, Linux man?
Who's that then?
You. Well, out of the two of us here, you're the Linux guy.
Yeah, I reckon it's always important to keep you on top of everything. Mm. No system is secure, no matter what you're running. Obviously, you know, it depends. Obviously, practicality sense. If you're running a website and it's very critical, you've got to keep on top of it. No matter if you're running, if you're running Sun or if you're running Ubuntu, if you're running Debian or whatever, you've got to keep that system on a lockdown because some motherfucker's going to, you know, create a worm that's going to root your box. And but obviously, rule of thumb, don't run Windows and don't run IIS because you're going to be bum-fucked anyway, so...
And that's without the exploits. That's just getting it to work and, you know, trying to get a website going on it. Not a big fan of IIS.
IIS.
To say.
It's a piece of crap, though, isn't it?
It has been in every version I've tried to work with.
Yeah.
It's just been a major pain in the ass to get something so simple going. Probably makes me sound like a complete dumbass, but it has been a lot of work for such a simple function as running the website. Whereas Apache, fine.
Yeah.
No problem with that. And that's coming from a complete Linux noob like me.
Mm.
Just follow the instructions, you'll be fine.
We're fighting over droops at the moment.
Are we?
Yeah, apparently he's coming down to London, and me and Crypt are fighting over to see where whose house he's going to stay. I said, no, come over to mine. He's like, Crypt say, no, come over to mine. He said, I've got endless supply of coffee on tap. And a large spare room, and I said, I've got a house and fast internet connection. He's like, I've got 2 megabytes. I'm like, I've got 8. He's like, damn you, Crypt concedes defeat.
I fold.
That's some funny shit. I'm sure we can share him.
Yeah, maybe you can take alternate days or something like that. It's coming over for 4 months, he says, anyway. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Another thing I found interesting, thanks to LucasAid, I totally missed this.
Yeah.
This is one of the stories he found, and that is that Amazon is going head-to-head with Apple's iTunes.
Right.
Brave move. But Amazon, big company, maybe they'll pull it off. It says, Amazon is set to challenge Apple's iTunes Music Store with the launch of its own digital music download service. The online retailer is in advanced talks with record companies about the initiative. plans under discussion include Amazon-branded portable music players.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Interesting.
Specifically designed for the retailer. Customers would sign up to a monthly subscription service offering discounted songs to be downloaded onto the players. But if Amazon links up with a rival technology firm to Apple, the computer company may withdraw its iPods for sale from Amazon's website, where they are among the most popular of its electronic purchases. So, looks like they're stepping on some toes with Apple there. I think a firm like Amazon could actually really, really do this. Because they are already well known for selling books, obviously. Also shipping out a lot of DVDs, electronics, and all kinds of shit. So if anyone stands a chance...
Yeah, exactly.
If anyone stands a chance of going up against iTunes, then it's going to be a firm like Amazon.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see.
They're fucking huge.
Yeah, it just mentions here their digital music ideas and that they're talking with record companies.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's just a stone's throw away from jumping on the bandwagon of what iTunes is doing with the video and what Google is doing with the video and charging $2 for old TV shows and stuff like that. If they can get the music side of it down, then, you know, you've laid the foundation.
Sure.
There'll be video straight after it.
Definitely.
And if you heard a weird noise there, that's me waving my arms around and hitting the pop shield on my microphone.
Like a noob.
It's weird, I keep gesturing even though I'm just talking. Waving my arms about like a madman.
Yeah, I've done that before sometimes.
I know, you drop stuff. And
yeah, it's like, oh fuck, the microphone's on the floor.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Please come back later.
So yeah, another thing about this this story is it's always good to have competition for us, the end users, the consumers, the customers, because once you get two or three big firms going on this kind of thing, they're going to start undercutting each other and they're going to get in a big old price war.
Yeah.
And things are going to get cheaper once there's competition. So Amazon, do it. Give it a shot. I don't care.
And what's kind of interesting happening in London right now is the World Conference Security Conference. You can find more information about it at www.eusecwest.com. And it is World Security Professional Summit in London. The World Security Professionals will converge in London in February 2006, today, to discuss new technology, share best practices and most significant new discoveries, technology and products. We presented at the first annual USSEC West Conference, brought to you by the organizers of PACSEC and CANSEC West. Definitely a little SEC theme running through there. The latest cutting-edge information, security threats, defenses, and applications and theory will be showcased in a series of one-hour presentations by the brightest minds in the security field from all nations. Catered breaks and lunches are provided to make a comfortable social environment for geeks to network with your peers. Wired and wireless networking will be provided, interesting, for attendees to stay in touch and check their emails and get owned. Remain productive, so bring your laptop, noobs. Evening social activities will be planned with mixture of... Mixture of belly dancers, lap dancers, and various prostitutes.
Cool.
Presentations, some talk... Oh, wait, I just added that, sorry. Some talks from PACSEC Core 05 conference in Tokyo in November were highly rated and have been invited to encore presentations at EUSEC West. this thing is being held at Victoria Park today and tomorrow. However, it's fully booked as I can see, and the charge is about $2,500 or something like that.
Yeah, in Canadian dollars.
It's a bitch,
like,
isn't it? Yeah.
That's enough Canadian dollars to put me off.
Yes, yes.
But some of the titles of the presentations here are really, really interesting. If I had loads of money just lying around, taking up space, I would have gone, but I can't. Because the titles, like I was saying, you've got Attacking the IP Version 6 Protocol Suite, Malicious Crypto, Windows Local Shell Code Injection, Microsoft Security Fundamentals, Advanced Web Hacking, Attacks and Defense, Cold Fusion Security, all kinds of really cool sounding stuff. Sounds like a great event, just only for the rich guys, sadly.
Yeah. Indeed, it sounds like one of those executive things, doesn't it?
Yeah. Bastards.
Any more news from you?
There's a shite load of news.
It is, isn't
posted
it? Yeah.
By LucasAid. I haven't had the time to go through it all. Those are the things I've already mentioned are the ones that really caught my eye. So yeah, there's some other stuff, but I'd rather read it first and go through it. So I think I'll save some of this for later. Wrap it up in cellophane.
Yeah.
Put it in the fridge for tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know if you can do that with news stories, but I'm going to try.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Put it on the third notch on the freezer.
What's special about the third one?
It's just more cooler than the first two.
But what about the fourth one?
Well, depends if you have a fridge with four notches.
This one goes up to 11.
I remember that.
Something like that, anyway. Yeah. Not an accurate quote, sorry.
New Trojans plunder bank accounts. Password seeding Trojan horses. No, that was a fucking goat or something. And we'll be all at the rage. The software would nestle itself in a PC after opening a bad email attachment or visiting a malicious website. But in response to the increasing adoption of stronger authentication, cyber criminals are changing their tactics. According to Alex Ship, a senior antivirus technologist at Message Labs, we have recently seen a move away from stealing usernames and passwords, Ship said, and during a panel discussion in the RSA conference 2006, which recording of that is available on the forums. There's a link to the RSA conference video. Cast. Here on Tuesday, the new bank stealing Trojans wait until their victim has actually logged into their bank account. It then transfers the money out, which is pretty mad. All of the authentication, little keys you have in your hands, biometric things, it doesn't matter. The bad guy just waits until you've done what you need to do and takes the money out. This new type of Trojan is on the rise and is currently number 3 on the list of most common threats, according to SHIP. The most seen threat today is remote control code used to maintain network zombies, PCs, or botnets, he said. Second are the phishing scams, which seek to dupe computer users into giving their personal information. The bank stealing Trojans are programmed to work with specific online banking websites, SHIP said. I come from Britain. We only have 4 banks. The bad guys are adding more and more banks every day. The malicious software typically arrives in an email with an apparently innocent web link, for example, to an online greeting card. If you click on the link, you will download an executable that installs itself to your browser and then just waits for your bank site. Increasingly, morphing attacks have challenged to keep up with, said Gente Javis. Senior Security Systems Project Manager at Boeing. He's also on the panel. So apparently these little Trojans are getting more and more sophisticated in the sense that they no longer require you to wait around and try and break the authentication key, but then just wait for you to type in all your shit and then jump in and steal your information and transfer loads of money. It's a pretty clever way of looking at it, actually.
It sounds clever, but it also sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing that goes through my head, is just shit your pants.
Yeah. And another point would be to add, obviously one of the most safest ways of doing bank online banking is to use a live CD, whereby everything's stored in RAM, and you're pretty much, you're very secure with doing that. Yeah.
That's a damn cool idea. That never even occurred to me.
That's what I suggest to people, and you do for myself. Once you turn the computer off, everything's gone and destroyed. There is no record of what you've done. Obviously, not because you're doing anything wrong, but you're doing it from a live CD. Nothing can install. Obviously, executables won't run because you're running Linux. That's one of the first and biggest line of defense. Secondly, you're running it off a fucking CD-ROM. Everything kind of mounts into RAM. Very secure system.
That's a very simple and very, very secure sounding idea, mate.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm just quite amazed. I'm quite embarrassed I didn't think of it.
Now I shall charge you loads of money for my idea. I'm sorry.
That idea is copyrighted. Every time you use it, I want a pound. Or else.
No, I'm joking. Everyone's free to use my idea. Because I've written in a Trojan. No, I'm joking. That specifically targets people that use live CDs to do their online banking.
Use my special Belial OS.
Yes.
It contains no spyware, I promise. There's just a little thing that I'm going to go into here. It's going to be 20 seconds tops, and that is, I'm not even going to read the story out. There's rumours, according to the BBC and two or three other websites, that the PlayStation 3 could miss its spring launch.
Oh my god.
Yes, because they're waiting on the final spec to be nailed down for the next generation DVD format.
Right.
Blu-ray or the HD DVD. I think they're going with Blu-ray. But they haven't. The Blu-ray people, the consortium of companies who are sorting it all out, they haven't got the spec down properly yet, and they can't all agree on it. This kind of shit goes on all the time. Every single time a new format comes out, they keep bitching with each other instead of just getting on with it. The PS3 is meant to have one of these next-generation optical drives, so it could be delayed until they sort all that bollocks out. So PS3 might lose the console war just based on this and what I've read today.
Possibly.
Because if they have to wait too long and the 360 is out there on the shelf, it is getting back out there on the shelves. They're starting to get the stock up again. They are actually selling them, not just big signs saying, no 360s here, bugger off. The 360 is up for sale. It's there today. You can have one. Or you can wait until God only knows when for the PS3. Nobody knows, not even Sony. So if they keep shipping the 360, then it's going to be in all kinds of places, and the PS3 might not stand a chance.
I wonder if
you never know with these things. But
I wonder if there's any way of actually like doing it so that it plays both and releasing it early?
I don't know, because things like this, they're normally backward compatible, so if they go with a Blu-ray, they'll incorporate like DVD playback with it.
Yeah.
But they won't be able to release a DVD drive on it that can then later on play Blu-ray discs, because they still haven't agreed on the standards of it.
Sure.
You know.
So what's the 360
unless they make the DVD drive like extractable or upgradable for a Blu-ray drive.
But what's this 360 doing then? Is it Blu-ray or...?
It's just DVD.
Yeah?
Because of the problems these guys are having. If
they just thought, oh, fuck it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, if this is what's delaying the PS3, then the X360 must have a standard everyday DVD drive.
Sure.
I don't know for sure, that's why I'm saying I assume, don't know. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
It interests me because I like playing games and I never grew up.
An interesting little hack I saw today. You remember the old Nintendo Entertainment Systems?
Oh, yeah.
Basically, a person gutted one of those completely and installed a alarm clock in there with a nice little, you know, LCD display.
And, I saw it. It's
fully working, yeah.
I saw pictures of it on Boing Boing.
That's right, that's where I saw that, yeah, yeah.
It looked really sweet. I'd be tempted to go for one then, just for the old retro cool kind of style.
Yeah, I will let him off though, because it was broken already, so, yeah.
That's okay.
Yes. Obviously, if he had a fully working one and gutted that, I'd be a tad upset.
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Indeed.
Send him to Guantanamo Bay.
Yes. Facing charges of...
destroying something that's beautiful. And there's no excuse for destroying working retro computers. It's not like we can get new ones, is it?
Mm.
If it's bollocks anyway, yeah, mod it. Go on, knock yourself out.
What's this? How to build your own weapon of mass destruction. We take a crash course in super virus engineering to find out. Anthrax, smallpox, Ebola, for thriller writers and policy crusaders, biological warfare has started. What if scenario? Long before anyone mailed anthrax to the government and media offices in 2001, Pentagon war games like Dark Winter, held just before 9/11, and this year's Atlantic storm, suggests that terrorists could unleash germs with the killing power of a nuclear weapon. Scientists thought that it's always been skeptical. Only massive state-supported programs, non-terrorist cells, or not terrorist cells, or lone kooks pose a plausible threat, they say. As the head of the Federation of American Scientists Working Group on Bioweapons put in 2002, Los Angeles Times opted. A scientific bioterror attack today would require support of a national program to succeed, or not. A few months ago, Roger Barnett, a geneticist who ran a Californian biotech firm, sent me an unpublished paper in which he wrote that that genetically engineering bioweapons developed by small teams are a bigger threat than suitcase nukes. Brent is one of a growing number of researchers who believes that a bioterrorist wouldn't need a team of virologists and state funding. He says advances in DNA hacking technology have reached the point where an evil lab assistant with the right resources could do the job. And apparently it's possible to make a biochemical weapon in your own back garden. Interesting.
Interesting and bloody scary.
Yes. That's from boingboing.net.
Ah, that's another one.
Yeah, if you're interested in checking that out.
It's a bloody good site.
Indeed.
Props to those guys.
What else do we have? A cough.
Yeah, a little cough from me. Sorry, I keep muting myself because I've still got a bloody cough.
Yeah, weird. It's been going on for a while.
Yeah, man, since...
I'd be worried.
Yeah.
Be worried if I was you.
Oh, thanks. That's going to cheer me up, innit? Oh, dear. Yeah. Bad. Yeah. It's bad in the morning. It's like when I'm... when it's cold.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Lovely.
Terrible, mate. But yeah. There's a... Oh, God, I'm going to cough. Give me a sec. Right, there we go.
Yeah.
Coughed off air. There's another new story that Luke Slade's posted. I've not read the full story, just the little synopsis that he's given us with the link. It says that government ministers have been given the choice between Jaguars and eco-friendly cars. And just from the synopsis here, which I think says it all members of the cabinet have been told by the government carpool that when their car is up for renewal, they can swap it either for an XL Jaguar or a Toyota Prius. The Jaguar costs £50,000 and is regarded by environmentalists as a gas guzzler, although it runs on biodiesel, which contains 5% blend of vegetable oil, which I think we talked about a while ago.
Which is tasty.
Sorry?
Which is tasty.
Vegetable oil, 5%. Whereas the Toyota, which is priced at £17,500, runs on a hybrid engine, which runs on petrol and electricity, which
and
cuts
piss.
Down carbon emissions. Now, the reason I'm just reading the synopsis here is surely they should all go for the Toyota. Because as taxpayers, why the hell are we buying them £50,000 Jaguars as opposed to £17,500
yeah.
Toyotas?
Exactly.
If it was up to me, the bastards would all use bloody
fucking
public
bicycles.
Transport. So?
They'd all get a fucking tricycle.
Well, I think they should use public transport. And then when they arrive late at work, like every other poor sod does,
they'll realise that everything's going to shit.
Maybe they'll do something about it. Why on earth are they riding around in £50,000 Jaguars? The rest of us aren't.
Exactly.
And these are the guys who are making decisions for the rest of the country.
Yeah, they've got no sense of reality.
Exactly. They're so far detached from what the everyday person is going through and living through that how can they make good decisions? Riding around in the Jags going, yeah, everything's great, hooray!
Yeah.
Oh, nutters.
Yeah. I didn't even know my tax money paid for that shit.
Oh, it all does. Well, where else does it come from?
Yeah, true.
You know, they're not buying them themselves.
Well, I'm going to stop paying tax then.
I would if I could. Unfortunately, they send you to prison.
Is that not an option then?
No, sadly, there's no option on not paying tax.
So you should
otherwise everyone would do it.
You should really pay tax on what you actually use, you know? I don't see why my tax money should pay for some bastard to ride around in a Jaguar or some person I don't even know to have a life-saving operation. Maybe I'm just a cunt, but I don't know.
Well, I don't know, you're touching on two things there.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm just being a bit...
One's the Jaguar, and obviously I'm very against that. The other's the NHS, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I'm just being a bit of a cunt.
It's a damn good system. It's just not being run very well, sadly.
No, I'm just being a bit of a cunt on that one. Just thought I'd throw in that oddball.
Yeah, checking I'm still awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they've got a car that costs less and will cut down on carbon emissions, surely that's the obvious choice.
Mm.
I I don't see why they're even thinking about it, why they're giving them the option. Do you want the really nice XL Jaguar, or do you want an environmentally friendly Toyota? Can I have either one?
The one on the left, or the one on the right?
I'll have the really hot Jaguar, please.
Are you sure? Yes. Positive? Yes.
Be interesting actually to see if there's a follow-up story for this about
who chooses which one.
Yeah, exactly. Who chooses what? That would be interesting. And then we can throw tomatoes at them.
I chose the two. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Which car shall I choose?
And another thing, they should be setting an example.
Yeah, precisely.
You know, you can't go and say, oh, we've got to use public transport, we've got to cut down on gas emissions, we've got to do this.
When they're driving around
what
the
fucking
they
actually
Jags.
Mean is, you lot have to do this. You lot have to cut down the gas emissions. You lot have to buy environmentally friendly cars and stop making unimportant journeys and walk to work, bike to work, and all this kind of thing. When they're riding around in Jaguars, Sodom. No one's going to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Enjoy your Jag. Feel myself getting wound up now. Always happens when there's a government kind of story.
And is that such a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing to get angry about.
No.
You know, what you see is an injustice. So.
Exactly. And there's just so many of them in the age that we live in now.
Yeah.
You know?
Makes you despair, mate. Really does.
It does, doesn't it, man?
Yeah.
It's like when you think... but then nothing really changes in politics, you know? It's always stayed the same. You look back 20 years, it's probably worse back then, you know, with Thatcher and shit.
I'd say it's still the same.
Yeah, it hasn't really matched. It always seems to change, you know, but it never has.
Yeah, that's it. They just put a different face on it.
Yeah.
That's the way it seems to me, anyway. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
Don't think I am. But, you know, if you know any different, please... email in radio@hackervoice, not just on this subject, on any old subject.
That's right.
Even if you found some nice porn, email in.
Yes.
It will be welcomely received.
That's radio@hackervoice.co.uk. Much appreciated all emails. And also just to let everybody know, if you... listening to this season. This season will be cut short to about 10 episodes. So we're looking at about another, what is it, 8 episodes? The cutoff point for season 3 is going to be episode 110. And then we're going to take a break. So we can basically concentrate on making everything so much more better for everyone. And we've got some interesting stuff lined up, you know, under our sleeves. Got some interesting little projects that I don't really want to reveal too soon. And obviously for other personal reasons and kind of stuff like that, it's always good to take a little time out. I'm sure we won't be greatly missed. However, if anyone feels the need to do a radio show, we are, of course, an open radio station. You're more than welcome to utilize our stream servers or whatever you need to get your voice heard while we are offline. And who knows, you might be better than us and people will stop listening to us and then we can sleep.
Yeah. And have a personal life again.
Yeah, exactly. And just rounding things off, remember that in this episode there is a secret reverse message that you need to find and reveal the secret phrase used. Once you have obtained a secret phrase, remember to post in the general talk with the secret phrase, if you are the first person to do so, you get yourself a free t-shirt. That is, of course, if you have the correct secret phrase, right down to the spelling.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to another radio episode of Hacker Voice Radio, I guess. I felt like shit all day, so...
You do sound a bit bunged up, actually.
Yeah, I am, mate, yeah. Not the best kind of radio voice, is it? You've got, like, a headache and your nose is all bunged up and you're trying to speak, but you can't quite breathe.
And you got me coughing in the background like I'm about to keel over. Jeez.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
There's no bird flu in the UK. Honest.
And I guess I was, send us an email. We do appreciate them. We always read them out. Catch us next time, same time, same place, 9 p.m. Tomorrow for another episode. Hope you enjoyed my little hacking food section. I'm sure I'll come up with some new ideas next time.
Good stuff.
And I guess we'll just end on some nice little beats. So it's a good night from me.
And good night from me.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye.